هم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, the hadith which I recited in the khutbah, wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُدْغَى إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ, that in the body there is a piece of flesh, that if this piece of flesh is rectified and corrected, then the entire body will be rectified and corrected. And if this piece of flesh becomes corrupted, and if this goes in the wrong direction, then the entire body will go in the wrong direction. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then explained, ala, behold, listen attentively, wahi al-qalb, this is the heart. The heart is the most important part of our bodies. And often when you would see a problem in a person, then it actually goes back to his heart. Someone has got an anger problem. So you see this man, for every small thing, he's getting very, very angry, getting very upset. He can bring the roof down. But what's the problem? The problem is that he's got pride in his heart. He's got pride, he's got arrogance. It's because of that arrogance, because of the pride, although he will not accept it. No one will accept. If you tell someone you got pride, no, I don't have pride. But it's actually very difficult for anyone to say with complete conviction that they don't have pride, even pious people. They were always afraid of this, because the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. That man who has got one atom of pride, that amount of pride in his heart, will not go to Jannat. He will not go to Jannat. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who proclaims La ilaha illallah, he says his kalima, he's got iman, he will go to Jannat. Sahabi asked, wa in zana wa in saraqa, even if he makes zina, even if he steals, he said, yes, he still go to Jannat. But for the pride, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that person who has got one atom of pride, obviously when you're speaking about zina and theft, what is meant is now that the man maybe did it, but he made tawbah. He made tawbah, Allah will forgive him. Or if maybe the akhirat, he may have to go for a cleansing process to Jahannam for a little while, but he will go to Jannat. But pride, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man will not go to Jannat, to show how serious pride is. But pride is, where does it come from? Pride comes from the heart. Also humility. Humility comes from the heart. Many of us think now that if you just greet people, or you always, it's a very good thing to greet people. It's a sunnah. There's a lot of rewards, a lot of benefits. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the man got humility. Humility is in his heart. And you will see whether he's got humility at the time when he's put through a test. Now the man is put through a test. Someone told him something. Someone irritated him.
somewhat angered him. Now you'll see whether he's got humility. And if there's humility, then there'll always be unity. Remember, the only way there can be unity is if there's humility. If there's no humility, there can be no unity. Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullah Ali, he says, put two kings in one country, they won't make it. Two kings. Both will be at loggerheads. Both will look for ways to drop the other one down, to attack the other one. But take 10 fakirs. Normally when they speak about fakirs in the terminology of the ulama, meaning 10 pious people, 10 humble people, and put them under one blanket, they'll make it. They'll be comfortable. Why? Because they have got humility. So when they got humility, then everyone will respect the other one. Everyone will have a high regard for the other one because he's got humility. But if you got pride, then you will always be against the other person. I am better. I am superior. This person, he is lower than me. You may not say it in words, but by way of action and by way of your behavior, this is what you will show. So this, all this is attached to the heart. Iman is in your heart. أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ Allah Ta'ala says those people, Allah Ta'ala had placed Iman in their hearts. So Iman is in your heart. A man outwardly can have the best attire. He can be conforming to Sunnah, everything. But Allah protects sometimes the heart is devoid of Iman. So at some point, he may even leave Islam then. Because he doesn't really have Iman in the heart. Once Iman penetrates into the heart, and the heart receives the sweetness of Iman, enjoys the taste of Iman, that person can never leave Islam after that. He never leave. Because he knows what Iman is. He has tasted the sweetness of Iman. So he will be prepared to go through any test, any trial. You'll tell him also, I'll kill you also. It's okay, kill me too. I can't leave Iman. So the person who really got Iman in his heart, he won't leave Iman. And he won't leave Islam. And if someone is leaving Islam, then it only means one thing, that the Iman never really settled into his heart. He didn't have the complete Iman, the perfect Iman. But that too, at the time when the person's test will come, then you'll see now whether he's got Iman or he doesn't have Iman. A man can give a bayan on Iman. In fact, giving a bayan is a very easy thing. A man can give a bayan on pride. He can give a bayan on anger. But he himself can have anger. He can give a bayan on namaz. But he himself may be not really namaz. So that doesn't mean that you have got it. Got having it means that you have to be a practical example of that. You have to yourself have it within you, within your mind, within your heart. So as I mentioned, all this goes back to your heart. Taqwa also is something related to your heart. Taqwa. Taqwa, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pointed to the chest and he said, At-taqwa hauna. Yes, definitely you have to refrain from wrong. It doesn't mean you wasn't refrained from wrong. You have to, man is not refraining from wrong and then he's claiming that he's got taqwa in his heart, and that is a deception. That is a lie. But he's refraining from wrong and also he's got that taqwa within his heart. So when he's got taqwa within his heart, then you'll see that in every facet of his life, he's got taqwa. But if he doesn't have taqwa in his heart, maybe he's very particular about his namaz, but he's owing people thousands of rands or hundreds of thousands of rands, because the taqwa is not in his heart. Taqwa is in his heart. He'll know I have to fulfill the rights of Allah and I have to fulfill the rights of people. Not only fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to fulfill the rights of people, because if I don't fulfill the rights of people, then I will be answerable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will have to pay back that man in the akhirat, every cent I robbed him for. That is why a man who understands this very well, and this concept sinks into his mind and his heart, he'll never rob anyone. He'll always give the other party the benefit of the doubt. Okay, even if there's a doubt, let me pay this man the money. I don't need to fight about it. Take your money and move on, because I rather have a claim against you in the akhirat than you have a claim against me. I don't want to come in the akhirat and people are coming to look for me there, and they're taking all my ibadat and they're taking all my namaz. So this taqwa is also in the heart. Shukr is in the heart. The hadith speaks about qalbun shakir, a heart that makes shukr. Yes, it's a very great thing to say alhamdulillah. It's a very great thing to express your shukr and your gratitude. But actually shukr is in the heart. Shukr is in the heart. And when a person has got shukr in his heart, then he will always be living a very content life, a very happy life. Why? He's always thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah bless me with this ni'mat. Allah bless me with that ni'mat. But when he doesn't have shukr in his heart, then he will be comparing his life to other people's lives. Hey, but why this man got this here? Why this man, this car, he's driving this car? Why this person is living this type of a home? Why he's got so much wealth? Why? Because the shukr is not in the heart. When the shukr is in the heart, you're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. So that is why this hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember, is the greatest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. And he came to reform the entire mankind. He came to correct and rectify the entire mankind. And he is going to the root cause of the problem. The root cause is your heart. Allah wa inna fil jasadi mudagha. You know, expert physician. He's not looking at the symptoms. Very often in life, we go to treat the symptoms. That is why we can't solve our problems. Because we're looking at the symptoms. It is here that, no, go to the root cause. What is the root cause of this problem? Because till you're not going to solve the root, this, by trying to work on the symptoms, nothing is going to happen. The power supply has been cut off to your home now. Now you are playing with the light switches and you're putting it on and off and you rewiring it and you're changing the switches. You're not gonna achieve nothing. Where the problem is coming from, if you understand where the problem is coming from, then you can solve the problem. Then you can sometimes, maybe it may be two, three different places. It doesn't have to be one, maybe two, three different avenues in your life needs to be changed and you need to sort that out. And inshallah, if you sort that out, then your problem can be solved. But until and unless you're not going to go and solve that, you're just going to be playing with the symptoms. You're going to achieve nothing. You're going to solve nothing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that this heart, if it is rectified, and Anbiya alayhim as-salam, when they came to this dunya, they worked on the hearts of people. Anbiya alayhim as-salam, that's what they worked. They worked on the hearts. You need to correct the heart. You need to rectify the heart. Even our children, we need to work on their hearts. One is, you can rule over your child with the iron fist. You know, you're there all the time. You're ready with your stick. You're ready with your whoop. It's a good thing also. Sometimes, obviously, you have to have discipline. You have to have some order, some principles, some rules. But until and unless the child himself doesn't understand the importance of that thing, then only when you're there, he'll do it. Once you're gone, he'll stop doing it. The child is reading namaz. He's reading namaz only because you're there. Father is there. He's shouting him. He's screaming at him. He's reading namaz. Then the father is not there. The child is not reading. Now you have to explain to him. You have to make him understand. And that is a very hard thing. Remember, that is where the correct upbringing comes in place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. That we have to now instill certain values into the minds of these children, into the hearts of these children. How long are we going to be there? We're not going to be there forever. You'll be gone just now. You don't know when you'll be gone from this dunya. Malakul Maut can take us away anytime. But you need to instill that value. So that child understood now the importance of namaz. He understood the importance of Quran. He understood the importance of Ramadan. He understood the importance of Jummah. So now you're not there also, what he knows. Maybe he is gone. He's moved on in life. He's gone to another part of the world. But that values that you have instilled within him, inshallah, as long as he stays in the right environment, he will be able to retain those values. So the heart, you have to work on the heart. Sometimes your intentions change. Just your intentions. You didn't do anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes his help away, straight away. You were helping someone out. You were doing some act of kindness to someone. Now you thought to your mind, hey, you know what? This person here, he doesn't appreciate what I do for him. Why are you doing it for him? Are you doing it for him to appreciate it? Or are you doing it because you want Allah's pleasure? You have to always ask yourself this question. Yes, the right thing on his side is to appreciate. If someone does us a favor, the right thing on our side is that we must appreciate the favor. But the person who is doing the favor, he mustn't expect anything in return. He mustn't be thinking, hey, this man must thank me, or he must appreciate what I'm doing. Why? Because why am I doing it? I am doing it to please Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala knows about it, it's sufficient. In fact, some of the pious people of the past, when they would do favors, they did not even want the people to know that they were doing the favors. That's called sincerity. Sincerity also comes from the heart. Allah Zainul Abideen Rahmatullah Ali, it's famous about him, that he would go out at night when it was dark and he would assist people. Whatever he needs to give, some hamper or give some gift or give some money at night. People don't even know who it is. They just know one servant of Allah Ta'ala. He came, he left some money, he left some hamper, he left some aid, he's gone. They never knew who was assisting them until Hazrat Zainul Abideen Rahmatullah Ali passed away. When Zainul Abideen Rahmatullah Ali passed away, then at that time, then they found out that was this man. Because it's not, no, the aid is not coming now. The assistance is not coming now anymore. One incident some ulama mentioned, one rich man, he went to a certain town. Very poor town. People of the town, extremely poor, battling people. So they thought, you know what, this rich man, he came here now, he will assist us. People got a bit happy. He was a rich man now, he's got wealth. He'll assist us, he'll aid us, give something towards our families. But now the man is not giving anything. He's not giving anything, he's not assisting, he's not aiding. But around the same time, sometimes they going to the grocery shops to buy groceries, and the shop owner is telling him, never mind, take this parcel, yeah, you have this, never mind, take this, you have that. Now they're thinking, this rich man is so rich, he's got so much of money, he's not assisting us in any way. Our own people now are assisting us, other poor people like us, they're assisting us. This man is not doing nothing. So the people started to hate this man. They started to hate him, and they started to curse him also. Oh, this man, yeah, it must happen to him. That must happen to you. He's not even assisting us. So inconsiderate, got so much of money. He's not doing anything. Eventually the man passed away. When he passed away, not even a lot of people of the town even attended the janazah. So upset with this man, that this man didn't assist us in any way. But what they noticed after that is now when they're going to those shops, the owners every now and again were giving them some parcels for free. Now they're going to the shop, they're not getting any parcels for free. What happened now? Why are you not assisting every now and again? You should give us something. That man was coming and paying for this thing here. He was coming quietly, that same rich man, you are cursing that man. You know, in life sometimes we curse people, but those people are our greatest benefactors. How often don't you hear people speaking bad about ulama? Hey, this alim, this... Sometimes that man is waking up in the middle of the night, he's making dua for you and your children. Through the barakat of his dua, your life is smooth. You don't realize that. So that's why sometimes we hate people, but those people are our greatest benefactors. But because we are, you know, we human beings, we're so narrow-minded, we don't understand things, we just look at things superficially. So that man was such a sincere man, he didn't go and give it to them in their hands. Why? He didn't want to show them that. So he went to the shop owners quietly, everyone's here, there's this so many thousand rand, you give so many passes for free. So don't tell anyone anything. No one must know I'm giving it. So many people like that, they aided people, and no one, that man, maybe he regarded him as his enemy also. But quietly he was coming, and he was. So this is what is called sincerity. So respected friends, we have to work on this heart. The heart we have to work on. There's different things to do, but the first thing we can start doing, one is be particular of what you eat. Remember, halal and haram is very, very important. If you eat haram, your heart can never have nur in it. It will have darkness in it. So be particular of what you eat. And then your company, your association. Always be in a company of pious people. and also a lot of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people now, they're suffering with anxiety, they're suffering with depression. Why? Because either they're not making zikr or they're not making it in the manner that they ought to make it. The way they're supposed to make zikr. Zikr also you have to learn. Sometimes you have to sit by pious people and learn how to make zikr. So you learn how to make zikr and how to focus. Sometimes with the zikr, you're committing a lot of sins also. So you have to stop all those sins and now focus your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the heart gets satisfaction. The problem is in the heart. Why is a man all the time on the edge? Why is it always, he's down and he's always depressed. He's always getting angry. He's moody. The problem is in the heart. That means there's no satisfaction within the heart. The heart needs to be rectified. The heart needs to be correct. And alhamdulillah, we have already started the month of Rajab. Half is already finished, half of the month of Rajab. Rajab is one of the sacred months. We have to now start preparing ourselves for the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, next week, Sunday night, will be the Mi'raj. And just over 2 weeks after that will be the Shab-e Barat. And 2 weeks after that will be the month of Ramadan. So let us make a lot of istighfar, lot of tawbah. Start increasing our tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Spending more time in the masjid. Spending more time in the company of pious people. Every, at least on a weekly basis, try and go for some program. You know, some pious, senior, saintly person is having a program. Go and sit in the program and benefit from that program. Why are we depriving ourselves? We have got so much around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with so many ni'mat, so many favors, so many spiritual ni'mat, so many different programs happening, whether it's a durood and salam, or it's a zikr, or whatever program it is. Let us try and attend those programs. And let us try and benefit and now revive our hearts. These hearts of ours have become like dead now. It's like gone completely dead. We need to revive these hearts. We need to boost the batteries of our iman and prepare ourselves for the month of Ramadan. We don't know. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But we make dua. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban. Allah, you give us barakat in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban. Wa balighna Ramadan. And Allah, you allow us to see the month of Ramadan and already start making our intention from now that inshallah this Ramadan will be the best Ramadan in our lives. Inshallah this Ramadan we will gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll spend our time in ibadat. We'll spend our time in tilawat. We'll spend our time in zikr and stay away from all forms of sins. And respected friends, remember, make dua for the ummah throughout the globe, especially our brothers in Gaza. We need to constantly, all the time, continuously make dua for them over and over again. Carry on making dua for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must bless the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with afiyat and favorable conditions. May Allah grant us a true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wah.